This is Murray Yates, welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough.
If you're just a child like me, or a king upon a throne, for there are no exceptions, we all stand in the line. Everybody needs a friend. Let me tell you of mine. He's my forever friend, my leave me never friend. From darkest night to rainbow's end, he's my forever friend. Even when I turn away, he cares for me. His love no one can shake. Even as I walk away, he's by my side with every breath I take. And sometimes I forget him. My halo fails to shine. Sometimes I'm not his friend, but he is always mine. He's my forever friend, my leave me never friend. From darkest night my forever. If you still don't know the one I'm talking of, I think it's time you knew. Long ago and far away, upon a cross, my friend died. So if you'd like to meet him and don't know what to do, ask my friend into your heart and he'll be your friend too.
Good morning, this is Mission Breakthrough. Today we are looking at John chapter 4, and I've called it The Woman at the Well. The Pharisees had heard that Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing them, but his disciples. And when the Lord heard of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Jesus decided to go through Samaria and to a town called Sychar. Most Jews would not travel this way because it meant going through the townships of Samaria. Instead, most Jews would rather cross the Jordan River, continue to travel northwards, then recross the Jordan rather than go through Samaritan territory. They would lose a day by doing this, but rather the loss of a day than meet up with the despised Samaritans. The Samaritans used to be Jews, but these were Jewish families who had intermarried with other pagan people before the second temple was built. And some of the families had gone to put their names down to help build the temple. But when it was seen on the register that they had intermarried with a non-Jew, they were disqualified from helping on the rebuilding of the temple. Since then, they had had wars as they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim and fought against the Jews on various occasions over the last 400 to 500 years. Now, Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, probably 12 o'clock or midday. It could well be that this woman was a prostitute or a person who society shunned, as she was drawing water at the hottest part of the day. Bridging the gap. The Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And here we can see that Jesus is getting the woman interested by his answers. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus points out that God is not interested in barriers that men and women build up, because Jesus came to draw all men and women to himself. We can build up barriers between other nations, culture, and people groups. Let us remember that Jesus loves all people. And John wrote, saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, Jesus gives living water which leads to eternal life. And God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." The disciples rejoined Jesus. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Jesus had certainly got them interested, and here was this woman who went back to her family, to her village, and she is now asking and telling others about this man who told her a lot about herself. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Jesus, of course, was not only inviting the people there to look on the harvest, but also he is referring to people so that he may have a harvest as he speaks God's word. "Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life. So what the sower and the reaper may be glad together." Thus the saying, "One sows and another reaps," is true. "I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. I wonder if in reading God's word or hearing from another person, if you too would be ready to come and know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. What an exciting time for the Samaritans. Just think, for years they had been put aside by the other races and the Jewish people. And yet here they find a person, the Son of God himself, who is willing to accept them. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." And Jesus heals the official son. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. And when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. And once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. I remember on one occasion that I went up to Auckland Hospital and there was a young man who had cancer. And I went to him and I prayed for him. And the following year, I was up at Waitangi. And here I saw this young man running around just like any other boy and kicking a ball. Yes, that young man, I believe Jesus had healed him. And unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. And the royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." And here is the Son of God, knowing the power of God, saying quite definitely that your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that this his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his disciples believed. And this was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is Aramaic, and is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And the question comes to us today too. If we are sick, do we really want to get well? Well, you too can put your faith in the Lord, and he too will come and heal you. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Here is a person who was ill and he needed to be healed. And Jesus says to him, "Get up." And what did he do? He believed and he got up and he found that he was healed. And the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And life through the Son. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Fancy men and women trying to kill the Savior. And after all, they had seen what he could do. And yet, that didn't count all they could go by was the law, the strict law that they had then. Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. This is why Jesus is so important. You see, he is the Saviour of the world, and he also has the power to give eternal life. Just as he said to the woman at the well, he says it again here. That is, an eternal life is life after death. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. And I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Yes, what we need to do is simply repent from the wrong things that we have done. We need to ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. And having done that, he will give us this wonderful gift of eternal life. And Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, and come out. Those who have done good will rise to life, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. How wonderful it is to be able to come to the Lord, and just as Jesus did, we try to keep in tune with the Lord by doing what he wants us to do. And how do we know what he wants us to do? Well, it's by reading his word, the Bible. This is Murray Yates, signing off for this month. May God bless you.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid. There's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind. Walk on. Dreams be tossed and blown.